Hello, this is Roger Emanuels. Last November, I joined a group of Earthwatch volunteers on an expedition to Navarino Island in far southern Chile. I've enjoyed travel and work in Chile over many years and was looking for something more than just a tourist visit this time. Earthwatch supports scientific projects all over the world by coordinating volunteer teams to assist scientists in their efforts. It was assured that no experience was necessary, just a willingness to work with the team. That was good, as my life as a professional musician has been devoid of scientific learning. This could become the biology class that I never took. The expedition will help resident specialists in their study of the forest and shore of Navarino Island. Birds need counting and banding. Rodents need to be counted and weighed, insects trapped, and vegetation measured. Even after 150 years of European occupation, the island is considered one of 37 most pristine sites in the world. Knowledge of the habitat will give people the information they need to manage it. Navarino Island is on the Beagle Channel, south of Tierra del Fuego. The Beagle Channel was named for an English ship which explored this remote tip of South America in the 1820s. It returned on another voyage in 1832 with the young naturalist Charles Darwin. The channel runs for about 125 miles east and west along the southern coast of Tierra del Fuego at about latitude 55 degrees south. With the large island of Tierra del Fuego to the north, the southern line of the channel runs by several large islands. On the northern shore, the grandeur of the landscape is punctuated by snow and ice-covered mountains running the length of the channel. The forest is lush and green, though it reaches only about 300 meters in altitude. With only three species of trees, the forest is home to hundreds of mosses and lichens. Birds are numerous, half of which are migratory. Native mammals are limited to mice and the elusive guanaco, an animal similar to the llama. Introduced mammals are cow, horse, sheep, beaver, muskrat, and mink. Great efforts are taken to minimize their impact on the environment. On this spring day in mid-November, I'm strolling along the shore of the Beagle Channel with a group of bird counters. Their job today is to identify and count all the species we see, and my job is to capture the bird calls on tape. It's a calm and sunny day. The seawater gently laps at the shore. There is no surf.
He's still sitting over there. There was one or two. I couldn't identify.
The ibis?
Yeah, there's one definitely over
those
there.
Those were the two that had flown around and then came back and sat down.
I hope to add to the collection of recorded bird calls a project of the Omora Ethnobotanical Park on the island. Stephen McGee is the resident ornithologist at the park. Steve, what are those loud birds?
That was a mixture. That was a flock of upland geese, about 15, with one Bonduria, the buff-necked ibis, mixed in with it, making most of the noise. They just flew up as we walked past them. They were sitting on the side of the shore, kind of getting together in small groups. The males and females are pairing off, trying to decide who's going to be with who and who's going to nest.
It's a beautiful spring day on the Beagle Channel. The air is crisp and cool, with temperatures in the 40s, but the sun is warming the air to about 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The sky is mostly clear, without any wind on the channel. The water is calm as glass. The bucolic scene is constantly interrupted by shorebirds staking out their territory. These two pair of crested ducks seemed to respond when I pointed a microphone in their direction. As soon as I did, it seemed that they began to quarrel in a louder and more agitated tone, performing for the audience of bird counters on the beach. Navarino Island contains the southernmost inhabited city in the world, Port Williams, population 1,800. It's a Chilean military outpost. But the original settlers in this land arrived about 7,000 years ago. They are the Yagan people, sometimes called Yamana, and they lived as far south as Cape Horn Island and on all the neighboring islands. They lived a nomadic life and hunted sea lions in canoes throughout the Cape Horn archipelago, south of Tierra del Fuego. Shell mounds, or middens, are found at every sheltered bay on the island. Steve shows us the first on our tour.
There's various gray layers. Here you can see dirt and then a
thick layer of gray, then dirt, then thick layer of gray. All that gray is charcoal fires from the Agon. When they would come here with their canoes and park, they would just walk right up here, sit, bring their muscles, light it in the fire. This is literally all just shell. All that gray is shell from their fires. When they were done with the muscles, they would throw the shells outside wherever they were sitting. And it would just build up over time, and you see this all over. Oftentimes you see mounds 6 or 7 feet high of nothing but shells over 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years.
We watched a tern feeding in the fresh water of the river just before it emptied into the bay. The tern flew in tight circles, calling its one-syllable chirp over and over. Then it would occasionally dive for a fish, which you might hear just now. The Chilean scientist Ricardo Rossi has been the force behind scientific research on the island, research that includes understanding the Yagan history and culture. He gave us a tour of another midden at Robalo Bay. He explained that this archaeological site is one of hundreds on the island, and this one is typical. The river flows into the bay, providing fresh water for the Yagan people. It is protected from the prevailing westerly winds, and every bay that has these features contains middens.
You can see the middens of the Yagan. Still, some things can be seen. There is a lot of shell accumulation, and there were periods that this was most intensively used. So for example, there were quite a lot of whale bones here because whale used to beach here. And when a whale beached, that was the occasion to do a ceremony for the adolescents to become adults. And everybody had meat for a long period. Okay, for example, those bones. Exactly.
The people would erect conical-shaped shelters from tree branches, much like a wigwam or teepee, which they called akar. All around each akar, the mussel shells would accumulate. Remnants of bones of whales and dolphins are also found, which were fashioned into harpoons, needles, tools to strip bark from trees for making canoes, and ornamental objects.
We're nomadic. It's amazing how they navigated the whole area with canoes. But when you have days like this, you understand. We call it, in ecology, there is a strategy for the birds, sit and wait. For example, birds that perch and wait for the rodent to come out and then just poop, pick it and perch again. That is more or less the way that Yagans manage it. They waited until good weather was and then they move. And it's very interesting because it's very contrasting with our society that you have to be at 2 o'clock at the airport and take the airplane. So the question behind that, for example, one of the questions is control of nature. One is to flow with nature, which is a very Taoist way of life. And the other is to control nature, and you impose your own schedule on nature. With canoes, at least it was the other way. You have to flow because if not, you would sink.
That was a lapwing, a bird which I never caught sight of. Only the microphone caught that one. But the Magellanic oyster catcher was easy to see. Sitting on a rock just a few yards from shore, their piercing cry would only come as I walked toward them. If I stopped walking, they stopped talking. When I moved in their direction, they talked until I stopped again.
Those are the Magellanic oyster catchers. That was a pair. They're inhabiting this part of the beach and setting up their territory. At the moment, they don't appear to have a nest. It's still a little bit early in the season. They're found only in southern Chile and Argentina.
My last shorebird recording was the most spectacular. Here is a flock of about 50 upland geese as they left the pasture and flew out on the channel.